Near FM presents Riveting History by Pat Meehan.
Pick it up where we left off. One and a two and a three. Very good, that's right. Tighten, just tighten up there on the left. On the left, for God's sake. One, two, stop, will you? Stop, in the name of God, will you stop? This is bloody hopeless altogether, Paddy. I can't go
hello,
on like this.
Hello, I'm looking for...
For fuck's sake! This is supposed to be a close rehearsal. I thought you locked the door, Paddy.
Oh, will you wish, Zebra, before you give yourself a heart attack. I'm Party Born O'Dell, miss, and this grumpy so-and-so is De Zebra Crossing.
Who are you? And what do you want? And if you're looking for a dancing party, you know you're too late.
Oh, my name's Marion. Marion Monroe. I'm a friend of TCP Crawley. He asked me to meet him here in the community hall.
You'll find him in his office down the corridor, at the side of the stage, Miss Monroe.
Oh, thanks, Pawdy. This way, is it?
All right, dancers, come on, we'll start again now. And try keeping time with the music this time, will you? One, two, three, four, that's it. One, two, very good, that's it. Come on, keep it going.
Who's asking about him?
I'm Marion Monroe, a friend of the professor, and this is me associate TC... Tommy. We're here to see him on urgent business.
I was told to let no one up them stairs, no matter who you say you are.
Why is that, miss?
Because of the goings-on in this place over the last few nights, that's why.
Oh, well, we're just here to visit an old friend, just to see that he's all right and make
sure... You said that yous were here on business.
Professor Ducornicate is a very eminent...
That Frenchman caused all the trouble in the first place. What with all the dodgy-looking people traipsing up to his suite at all hours of the night, and the shouting and arguing, none of the other guests could get a wink of sleep.
Dodgy-looking. Who were they?
Said they were agents. Representing creditors or something. But I smelt a rat. I got a nose for that sort of thing, see?
The benefactors are after him, TCP.
Mr. Chen, the night manager, called the police and they all got thrown out onto the street.
All of them?
Sorry. The Frenchman kicked up a proper stink. But Mr. Chen was having none of it. He got the police to escort them down.
The professor, he wasn't alone.
Nah, there was an owl fella and an owl one hanging out of him. Or maybe he was holding on to them. Stuck to high hell of burning plastic they did. Oh, give me the creeps. The three of them shagged off down the road on that big motorbike. Good riddance to him, I say. But here, I'm not supposed to be telling anyone about this. In case the hotel's reputation had suffered like...
Come on, TCP. We're back to square bloody one again.
Maybe not, Marion. What if the professor is desperate to find a new base for his operation?
So?
Someone's bound to see them. They'll stick out like a sore thumb going around that odd-looking motorcycle.
The backfiring and the reek of it alone will make people notice. Listen, I'll chase down Loon and see if she's heard anything. Right, I shall see you later.
Right, girls, I mean boys, I'm De Zebra. Thanks for coming to the auditions. Now, this scene has only three parts. So I'll play the part of the man, all right? And you's first pair. Yeah, you two, yeah, you. We'll play the ugly sisters, Sabina and Zaza. Now, I've the opening line, so let's start, because we haven't got all night, like. Where's the good-for-nothing Jack? Still in his pit, I suppose, dreaming about flying to the moon or whatnot, instead of earning a crust to feed his poor mother and sister.
You're right, Ma. He's a bleeding waster.
So what's for the breakfast, Ma? Because I could eat a horse.
Well,
You're not the only one around here, Zaz. Hunger's mother. I'm bleeding ravenous too. How am I supposed to look me best when there's not a pick on me from that deprivation?
It's deprivation, Sabina, for God's sake. Now here, tell. Look, just say being undernourished instead. All right? So take it from your line 3, all right?
Sorry?
Line 3?
What? Oh, yeah, okay. How am I supposed to look me best when there's not a pick on me from being undernourished? Any second now, a handsome prince might bang on the door looking for me hand in marriage. Or maybe even a gorgeous ship's captain in his immaculate white uniform might want to come and make passionate love to me.
The only reason a gorgeous ship's captain would come looking for you, Sabina, would be to get you to shovel coal into his tilty black boiler. The charming prince, on the other hand, be looking to carry me off to his fairy tale castle. Me being the fairest one of all, like.
You're just a jealous old bag, Zaza. You grew a beard to hide behind, cause you're so ugly.
That's a lie, you hatchet. Me electrologist took a few weeks off, that's all. The poor man hasn't had a holiday in 5 years.
What? An electrogonist, or whatever you call it?
You're such an ignoramus, you are. It's a person what removes light, downy fluff from off the cheeks and other areas of young, innocent maidens such as I.
It's no wonder he hasn't had a holiday in 5 bleeding years. Jeez, your arse must be roared and red from all that plucking.
Jack, get up out of that bed, you little slug. I want you to go to the market because there's nothing to eat in this kip, only a mouldy turnip. Will you get up?
Yoo-hoo! There you are, Bubbles. Is your friend Septic not with you tonight?
Will you keep your voice down, Loon, will you, for God's sake? No, TCP's not with me. And I must have been mad telling you me nickname.
I got way out of that. And stop pretending to look so mortified. That's the problem we're all use young people these days. You're all head up about not wanting to get all slagged on Facebook and Twitter. But here, you're not in the first bloom of your youth anymore. So you've nothing to worry about on that score, have you, Marion?
Why don't you march around roaring through a megaphone like the demented old bag and announce your nuttiness to the whole college and have done with it?
I find it necessary to let them think I'm just a harmless eccentric. Because if your pals in the cloning department copped on that we're trying to undermine their filthy experiments, sure, we'd be in this.
Will you give it over with all that talk?
Come here. Me and you and the others, no names, no pack drill, are going on a secret rescue mission at midnight.
No names, no pack.
What are you? Keep your feckin' voice down, Marion. Or do you want the whole cafeteria to know about the incredible string bandits?
No, that's why I'm here, Loon, to ask about...
We're after getting reliable intel about a bunch of chairs that are being moved. We rendezvous at 1100 hours at my place.
Chairs? Are you having me on?
The poor things are a cross between chickens and hares.
What?
Some of them are hares, only they're covered in feathers. And some of them resemble chickens, but with fur all over their bodies. We call them chairs for short. It's just more of the disgusting practice what are being carried out on defenceless animals by friends with no conscience.
I've never heard of anything so ridiculous.
Oh, you know full well about what's going on in the labs, me girl. Aren't you still intent on the woolly mammoth project? And what about the latest test where a pig's brain was brought back to life? But before long, pig's heads will be transplanted onto dead human bodies. And they'll be walking around the streets greeting each other in grunts and snorts.
God, listen. I only came here to ask if you have any updates on the Defornicate situation, okay?
And next they'll be in the pubs, swilling toilet duck and drain cleaner cocktails.
This is ridiculous.
You mark my words, girl. They'll be part human part pig and part bits of electric wires and plastic, so they will.
Plastic?
Yeah, plastic. Sure, we're all eating plastic every day of the week, according to the news. I suppose stands to reason we become plastic people if it keeps up. Do you not read the papers?
God, maybe some people have already turned into plastic.
What?
Oh, never mind. Listen, is there any news about the bleeding professor?
Who? Oh, the Frenchman with the stolen Hurley. Nah, there's nothing at all. I had Paranoid Pete and Chappie Manson staking out that Elwyn Diner's house round the clock. But I had to call it off, the surveillance, because of tonight's op. So, can we count on you on septic later?
No. I'm going home to drink a few toilet, duck and drain cleaner cocktails myself, because I need to remove the images of human pig people and chicken-haired creatures from my mind fast. And don't call him septic. Good luck.
Typical, isn't it? Well, just wait till she needs Luna O'Leary's help again. Then she'll get her land and no mistake.
Oh, what? Hello? Hello? Who is it? De Fornicate? Where are you? Okay, slow down, will you? Yeah, I know where the cafe is. Tomorrow at 12. Yeah, I'll be alone, but before... Oh, gone. Jesus, it's the middle of the bleeding night.
Is that you, Henry? God, you look like a down and out with that scruffy beard on you. And that old coat. Hey, where have you been? And what's with the sunglasses?
Shh, please, Marianne. I need you to do something for me. And I have
Am I ever going to get paid for the work I did?
Oh, oui, mon chéri. You most certainly you will. But first, I need you to contact our benefactors and arrange to meet some on my behalf.
Why?
To clear up a tiny misunderstanding, one of
them. Oh, yeah. You go missing for over a month and suddenly you want me to...
Oh, it is très important, Marianne. You and I are nearing the finale of our great quest, but just a bit more time is required.
Tell me what happened to Duck and Dinah. And where's that Hurley you robbed from Newgrange?
Monsieur Duke and Madame Dinah have gone on a long honeymoon to a remote hotel high in the French Alps, which was paid for by myself. The Hurley I borrowed from the Great Mound is safe and sound. I shall present it to the museum here in Dublin when the opportunity arises. So everything is hunky-dory. Oui.
Aw, that was very kind of you, Henry. Hey, give the hotel's number, will you? And I'll send them a nice card and a bouquet of flowers.
Oh, I'm afraid that is très impossible. The hotel, you see, is in a region which is only accessible by dangerous trails and subject to frequent landslides. By the time the postal service would get there with your card, our two friends will have safely returned to Ireland.
Oh. Hey, so what's stopping you from meeting the benefactors yourself?
We got our wires mixed up.
That'd be crossed, Henry.
You are correct. Because I had not been in touch for a few weeks, they thought I had skipped out the back door.
And they're not the right sort of people to rip off.
Again, you are correct. And they believe I may be in possession of something very powerful. And they want it.
Not the Hurley, Henry. Oh, it mustn't fall into their hands at all costs.
Oh, that is why you must convince these people it doesn't exist, Marianne.
Oh, yeah. And how am I going to do that, for God's sake?
Ah, you will, because they trust you, Marjorie.
And what about the quest? Have you forgotten what you promised them?
No, I have not. I will soon prove the link between the great hero, Cuchulainn, and our friends with the money.
But that's not going to satisfy them now.
Then you must travel to Belfast and use all your ample charms to persuade them.
I hope you're not suggesting what I think you're suggesting.
Oh, you are an adult, Marianne. Just get them to back off. They must desist from lurking in shadows and spying. For I, Henri Dufourniquet, did not come up the Liffey on the raft.
Lying on your behalf wasn't in the job description, and neither was selling myself.
Oh, no, mon chéri.
I know exactly what you meant, Henry. Listen, why don't you give me the hurley? Then you can go and meet the benefactors and tell them that you don't have it, because that would be the truth. See?
Maybe you just want the talisman for your own selfish ends, oui? Sell it to the highest bidder, or use its wondrous powers to make yourself rich.
Oh, Henry, I'm only trying to help you.
Filthy money is all you care about, and for that you would betray Henri Dufourniquet.
Wait, Henry, don't go. I'm not...
Do not attempt to follow me. So long, Marianne.
That'll be €9 for the coffees, please.
I didn't have any coffee.
Well, your mate had 3 cups before you arrived, and he's legged it without paying, so that'll be €9, like I said. And here, tell him he's barred. We don't want scruffy traps like him hanging around giving this place a bad name.
Here's your €9, and your coffee's only a stinking hole anyway. So I'm glad I didn't drink any of your rubbish coffee.
I get the feck out. You're bar too.
Quiet, please, everyone. Quiet, will yes. Right, that's better now. Right. We're going to rehearse now scene 2. Jack is in bed, snoring his head off, and Chris Carroll, a wandering minstrel, enters from stage left. Now, Paddy is playing Chris. The actor who's supposed to be playing Jack's role hasn't arrived yet, so I'll step in till he does. Are you ready, Paddy? So enter from stage left.
Oh, woe is me, poor wretched Chris Carroll, got dumped by my lover, the hunky Tom Fowl. He shacked off to Spain, leaving me here in pain, drowning me sorrows, drinking gin by the barrel. Oh, woe!
Who the dickens are you?
Oh, woe is me, the name is Chris. I haven't much time, Jack, so don't take the piss.
Oh, please go away and come back in the morning.
Can't, cos I've got to give you a warning.
Oh, get lost, will you, and get out of me dream.
The beings you'll meet are not all they seem. You'll...
That's grand. Okay, that's fine. Well done now. I'll tell what we'll do now. We'll go straight into the next part, where Jack's ma enters his room from stage right and shouts at him to wake up. So I play the part of the ma, all right? Okay, ready?
So you're going to be playing Jack and his ma at the same time, are you, Zebra?
It's only for the bleeding rehearsal party, so don't get me going, or I'm warning you.
I was only asking, like, you'd want to cool the jets there before you take a fucking sevener.
Well, it sounded like sarcasm to me, that's all, and I'm really getting fed up.
Sorry I'm a bit late. Oh, I see you started already.
Ah, good man yourself. Here's our Jack now, Zebra. So you can relax the keks.
All right. So we'll pick it up now from Ma's line. That's me up. Jack, you lazy effing tosser. It's long past sun up and you've got to go to the market, else we'll all be bleeding starved to death. Them 2 ugly sisters are trying to stuff nettles and a mouldy turnip up that cow of yours' arse. So wake up. You've got to sell that bloody beast and bring back some food.
Nettle and turnip stuffing. It's just the right thing for a roast beef. Cut me a good slice, Ma. And don't forget the gravy. It's no good without the gravy.
Oh, it's the poorhouse for all of us, and no mistake.
I'm not too happy with them last lines, Zebra. Not happy at all.
Well, it's your order, Podgy. Don't complain to me if you fecked up.
Who said anything about blaming you? Christ, but I'm getting sick of your...
Sorry for interrupting your little spat. But is TCP around, Ed? Girls? Boys?
Come here. Hey. Do you ever knock, do you? You're like creeping Jesus, you are.
The door was open, so don't be getting yourself in a twist, Deborah, or Ferdy, or whatever you are.
My name is Deborah Crossing, you cheeky bitcher. I can sort you out too.
TCP is down in his office, but he...
Thanks, Pawdy. I know where he is. I'm glad to see one of you has a few manners.
Yeah, that's good. I'm looking forward to it, Petra. Okay, see you in 2 days. I can't wait. Bye, see you then.
A new girlfriend, is it, TCP?
Hell, Marion, don't creep up on me like that. And no, I don't have time for a girlfriend. Jeez, you'd make a great cat burglar.
Yeah, sure, you've got enough problems with women as it is without needing to add any more, what?
What?
Them two. Well, I suppose Pawdy's all right. But that Zebra yoke's got a right mouth on her. Called me creepin' Jesus, so she did. So, who's that Petra one you were ringing?
As a matter of fact, she rang me.
Involved with a fornicate, is she?
Not at all, Marion. Mm. Petra's on the committee that organises the annual sound festival on the Hill of Uisneach in Westmead.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. All the hippy-dippy, weirdo new age stuff that goes on up there at Halloween. So, what's she ringing you for, huh?
They want us, I mean our little theatre group, to take part this year. I'm going over for 2 days to meet her. Isn't that exciting?
I can't really see where Jack and the Beanstalk would fit in with primitive pagan rituals, TCP. But hey, who am I to know what works and doesn't in this crazy world of alternative theatre these days?
They have asked us that we adapt Jack and the Beanstalk to fit in with this year's festival theme, and I readily agreed.
I'm delighted for you. But listen, I met De Fornicate, and he's in a bad way. He's copped that he's been followed, and now he's paranoid as shite. I think he might be going off the deep end.
Well, we'll be doing the battle scene between Cuchulainn and Ferdia on the final night, Marion.
Holy crap, but isn't that the scene where the whole thing...
Exactly! The time when the portals between this world and the Twilight Realm open.
God, if De Fornicate gets wind about this, he might try using the event to finish whatever mad scheme he's planning with that creepy hurdle thing. He could be making his way to the Hill of Uisneach this very minute. Look at here, you can scout out the area when you go over to meet your new friend Petra.
No, Marion. I don't want her to get mixed up in any of this.
Oh, Jesus, I'm not asking you to involve her, TCP. But if he's there, people will notice. There's no way he could escape being seen. All of them little culty owl ones peeping from behind their lace curtains. Should they know your business before you even step off the bus? Because the driver's probably radioed your details ahead.
Don't be ridiculous, Marion. Rural life has changed totally in the last decades.
Oh, sorry. I was forgetting you're a country boy. But look, you can ask around, can't you?
It's a business trip. I'll only be there for 2 days.
And you want to spend it getting to know Petra, eh?
It's not like that. Things need to be organised.
Sure, I don't blame you, TCP. It's a chance to get out of the city and away from your ma, isn't it?
If it makes you happy, I'll keep an eye open.
Great. I knew you wouldn't let me down. Let me know what you find out as soon as you get back. Good luck with Petra. I bet you she's bleeding gorgeous. Right, I'm going to find Loon and tell her we're on the hunt again.
You have been listening to Riveting History by Pat Meehan, directed by Declan Cahill. Zebra was played by Declan Cahill. Pawdy by Ian Shipley. Marion by Mary McNamara. TCP, Tom Blake. Receptionist, Mary Nealon. Zabina, Francis Kyo. Zaza, Rebecca Blomfield. Lewin, Carol Dempsey. Henri de Fornicate, Michael Sharp. We wish to dedicate this series to the memory of Michael Sharp, who passed away during the recording.
This programme was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.